Welcome to the Matrescent Medicine Stories. I'm Gemma Michelle of Wild Birth. This is a space to sit at the feet of mothers and their physiological postpartum stories as our ancestors always have. A space to sip from the wisdom of their journey through matrescence. These conversations are in deep devotion to reorienting the cultural narrative of postpartum back to its primal blueprint. Together, we return to the innate wisdom, reverence, nourishment, and alchemy available to us through the lens of physiological, primal, and ceremonial motherhood. In this episode, I'm joined by my dear friend, Eden Elizabeth. Eden is a mystic, a mother, and creatrix devoted to the spiritual path of motherhood, womanhood, and being of service to her community. She deeply values authentic expression, vulnerability, and raw human connection. She aims to embody these values at every table she sits at. Eden's current mission is to guide and support women into deeper connection with their bodies, emotions, internal and energetic realms. She invites women to claim and embody their fullest expression of self. You can connect with her and her offerings at Creating Eden on Instagram or the links in the episode description. Our babies were born a month apart, and witnessing her journey and vulnerability as we both walk these thresholds has truly been such a holy mirror for me. I had the honor of offering her closing of the bone ceremony at 6 moons postpartum, and it's so deeply changed me to witness her integration into mother, and I am so elated to be diving deeper into her story medicine here. In this conversation, she speaks to the intensity of the immediate postpartum and the devotional practice of staying present with it. We speak to energetic protection in the in-between realm of postpartum, expanding our capacity beyond our edges as mothers, and allowing ourselves to be witnessed in our raw vulnerability in postpartum as a gift for our community.
Welcome, Eden.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear your story. It's been so sweet to be in community with you over these last months and witness you. So I would love to just start by feeling into where that spark of matrescence began for you. How did it land in you?
Really, the moment that I held my daughter in my arms, I felt, and like I could hear it in my voice, that like mother within me has arrived. And it's always kind of like I've always kind of felt her, but she's never been at the forefront. And even watching back my birth video, the like complete 180 flip from roaring her out to this like, oh, such a soft mother voice, where I'm now speaking to my baby in my arms. Like, it's so wild. And I've watched that transition so many times and just heard this complete switch in my voice where I'm like, oh, my baby, hi. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never spoken like that before. And it was just like this switch that happened that, yeah, fully like landed in my body. So I would say that was definitely the spark, was when she was fully arrived in my arms.
I love that you mentioned that, because I think that's my favorite part about attending births, but watching birth videos, is just the voice, the way mothers speak to their babies when they have landed, like especially the first baby, the first time. It is really like an access to this mother voice that we've never been able to touch before. And it's so, so beautiful. Like the things that mothers say the first time they hold their baby is just one of the most potent medicines in the world.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And like, I'd held my sister's babies and, you know, that soft voice has been there, but it was just so different, it being my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Do you want to touch a little bit into like your pregnancy and your birth journey? What was that like for you too?
Yeah, so my partner Florian and I, we were not like it's really interesting. We weren't actively trying to conceive, yet we were on this like spiritual preconception journey, doing the work to prepare ourselves for motherhood, fatherhood, whenever it arrived, but we weren't actively like, okay, it's happening now. But we weren't not trying, you know, we were
a
just
part
like,
of you knew.
Like there was one time where we were like, should we just see what happens?
Yeah.
And Flora was like, yes, it's my time.
I've been waiting for this.
So, like, and I knew it was interesting because my bleed has always been so spot on. And I was 4 days late for my bleed. And I was like, this is different. This is different. And, but because we weren't like, okay, we are actively making the decision to do this now. And then we found out I was pregnant. We were like, oh my gosh, little bit of a panic, but there was a part of me that was like, oh, like really, this is happening for me. 'Cause I'd had, you know, so many women in my life have babies and witness them on their journey. And it was kind of always this like, oh, it's a journey for other women, not me. It's not for me. And yeah, so there was a part of me that was like, oh, it's my turn. Oh. And then there was all of this resistance and all of this fear and all of this like, oh my God, I'm going to have to let my maiden self go. And I had felt the few years prior that I was really thriving in my maidenhood and I was so loving it. It was like peaking. And I didn't want to let it go. So I had a lot of like a lot of resistance to that and went through many waves of grief and release and just kind of sat in the discomfort of it and let it unfold, let myself grieve it. And you know, got to this place where I was holding both. I was holding the just amazing, incredible, expansive joy and love that I had for my daughter who's growing within me. And then also holding the grief and the sadness of my life is never going to look the same. It's never going to be the same. And that's okay. And it's also sad and hard. Throughout my pregnancy, I really learned how to hold both. Florian, he had like resistance at the beginning. And then once he was like, okay, we're doing this, he was like unwavering. It was amazing because I was like, you know, sailing on this crazy wild sea that's thrashing me about. And he was just like stood there unwavering, like, you got this, we've got this, we're doing it.
Anchoring
so I'm
it.
really, yeah, absolutely. So I'm really grateful for that because it really helped me to be okay with being thrown around kind of emotionally and spiritually speaking. So
what a gift. That's so beautiful. And
you,
did you always know that you would free birth?
I don't, I feel like my soul knew. I feel like my soul knew. But it wasn't until my sister had her first baby in the hospital and then she had the other three at home. It wasn't until witnessing that transition that I was like, oh my God, there's another way to do it. So I'm so grateful for her for like, you know, she did all of the foundational work within my family for home birth to be like, oh, this is just how it's done now. So that when I was like, oh, not only am I going to birth my baby at home, but I'm going to free birth. My family was like, of course you are.
Like, yeah, that shift is more accessible.
Absolutely. So yeah, part of me knew, like when I met Florian, I had already been in communication with Flora's spirit for like two almost 3 years at that time. And as soon as I met him, like the week that I met him, she was like, "That's him. That's
Yes.
him. That's my dad." And I was
As they
like,
do.
"Okay, am I crazy? I'm like telling my mom and my sister, like, this is the man that's going to father my children." And I'm like, "I've known him for a week and I feel crazy, but also I cannot ignore this like big yes feeling." And we sat down at my parents' table because I was still living in, well, living again in my parents' house. And he came and he stayed, and we sat at the table and we shared our biggest dreams with each other. And mine at the time was to have a wild pregnancy and a free birth. And it was something that was like, it felt so far away that it was just like, it wasn't at the forefront of my mind. It was just this seed that I planted with him. And then a couple of years later, I'm pregnant. I'm like, oh, well, I guess this is my opportunity to bring that dream into reality, to bring that into fruition. So with him, I knew it would always be that way. And he, again, was always so like, I fully trust you. I fully support you. Like, we'll do what we need to do to make this happen. He was never, like fearful. He just so such like that unwavering energy, just unwavering trust and stability. And like, when I was like calling some midwives, unsure of like, can I actually do this? I said to him, I was like, can you please just like tell me what you think? Like, don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Like, tell me what you think. And then he just was like, Eden, like, you are so strong. You are so powerful. You are so capable. You can do it. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because he kept saying like, whatever feels best for you, whatever feels right for you. I'm like, I need to know what you actually think.
Yeah.
So yeah, once he said that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I am that, and I can do that, and I just have to claim it. Because at that point, I was really scared to claim the wild pregnancy and free birth, because it's like, it's so expansive and it's so,
so big. Yeah.
Yeah, against the mainstream. Yeah, it was scary to claim. But once I claimed it, then I, like, as I do, I fully claimed it for myself. So.
That's so beautiful and just reminds me so much of like the timeline and the essence of my husband and I's journey. Just that anchor is such a gift. So take me to like the essence of your birth. What was your medicine there?
Oh, really? That I can hold the physical intensity. Because I had, you know, been listening to all of the podcasts and reading other women's stories and watching their birth videos, I was just like, I don't know what my experience is, and I'm not really attached to what medicine lies in there for me. I'm just open to experiencing it. But, you know, I had seen so much about the like, oh, ecstatic, expansive, like orgasmic birth. And I was like, I don't think that's going to be me. I don't think that's going to be me. And it most definitely was not me. Mine felt so intense. Like, intense is the only word to describe it. It was like I so before giving birth, I would hear women say, like, I wouldn't even use the word pain. I would use the word intense. And I'm like, yes, because yeah, it's painful, but it's like beyond painful to the point where it's like, the pain is just me. I am one with the pain, that it's not this like separate thing. I just am in it, like in the fire. So yeah, I remember it was like the night before. Classic, the night before, I was crying to my husband, like, I can't do it anymore. Like, oh my gosh, what if I'm pregnant for 3 more weeks? Like, how am I gonna do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. And my friend was over, who I had asked to be at my birth, and she and I were joking because it was a friend's birthday party the next day, and I was like, could you imagine if I had my baby and we didn't go? And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
Like, I sent my friend, she's like getting ready for her birthday party, I sent her a picture of me and Flora, just like, so I won't be there today.
So perfect.
But yeah, it was like 12 hours from the moment my waters broke. So I woke up from a dream and just had this tightening in my cervix, or not my cervix, in my womb, and then was like, ooh, I should go to the bathroom. And then I stood up and my waters broke. And then it was at 3 a.m. And I always knew I would go into labor at night. I just like that just felt so natural for me. And then it was 12 hours from that point until she was in my arms. So it was very like, I don't know. For me, it felt the first half was very dreamy and very like, oh, okay, I could be here for forever. Like this is easy. My husband and I were like kissing and snuggling and napping, and then the next 6 hours was like, oh my gosh, I want to get out of my body as soon as I can. How do I get out of my body? So it was really just, it felt really intense. And like, I just remember being on my hands and knees wanting to cry, but it was so intense that I couldn't even have that release. And just like holding, that was it, just holding the intensity in my body. That was like that's it. That's the essence of my birth experience with her. It was just, can you hold it and not try to run and escape? And like there was nowhere to go. Even my mind, like there was nowhere to go. Like my mind was just like trying to grab for things to be like, yeah. Like there was an experience I had years ago where I was in this wild, like hurricane kind of storm in the middle of the ocean on a cruise ship for like 8 hours. And that was like, you know, the first, not the first, but like the biggest experience in my life where I wanted to escape and I physically couldn't. I was really just stuck and like battling with my body for 8 hours trying to find safety. And that's kind of what came up in my birth experience as well, was like, oh, I was like, I want to be in that experience again because this one is even harder. This one is even more intense. And I don't know if I can hold this. I don't know if I can survive this. It's so big. So that was like the only place I was like reaching for, like, can I go back into that experience? I know I can survive that, even though that was awful and so intense and so much on my body. Like, I know I can survive that. I don't know if I can survive this. Which of course I did. And yeah, but it was just like, hold that. And I had the birth affirmations I wrote on my wall. And one of them that just was my anchor the whole way through was, my body can hold this intensity. It was like every time it felt like it was too much, I would just keep looking at that one, keep looking at that one. And it was painted, like I just did some intuitive paintings, and then I wrote whichever birth affirmation I felt resonated with the colors. And that one was orange and yellow and very like fire. So really, like I was just like, I am in the fire. I am in the fire. I am in the fire. And it just kind of was that external reminder that I can hold it. I can hold this intensity in my body, even though it feels like too much and I want to escape, but I can't.
And what a gift for your motherhood, I imagine. Just like being so rooted in that knowing that you can hold it all. Like, I'm sure that that mantra is going to hold you through for, I was going to say years, but decades, truly.
It's really feels like a very solid blueprint of motherhood because, you know, there's the emotional intensity. No. Everything's really great right now. Like she's amazing. My daughter is amazing. I'm like, I'm so obsessed with her. I love her so much. But yeah, like there's been a few moments where it's been like, whoa, it feels like I can't hold this intensity because I'm not only trying to hold her, I'm trying to hold the intensity that I'm feeling in my body as well. And there's been a few times where it's like, oh, I actually can't right now. Lauren, I need you. Please come and take her so I can like shake all of this out and then come back and hold again. But Yeah, thinking back to birth, I'm like, everything else is easy.
Yeah.
Everything else is so easy in comparison.
Tell us about like how meeting those edges in birth integrated into your postpartum.
I struggled to, I really struggled to come back down and in. And I remember, so my friend, she actually didn't end up coming until after my daughter was born. And we had previously discussed her leaving when we did the cord burning ceremony. And we did that like a few hours after she was born. And in that moment, when my friend was like, okay, I'm going to leave now, my heart was like, no, don't go. But then my mind was like, oh, but we already said that she would go. And, you know, but I think I really, if I could go back, I would have asked her to stay overnight because it was like 3 p.m. or 5-ish p.m. time that she left. And I would have asked her to stay and to stay overnight because Florian had just held space for birth for 12 hours straight, you know. And that was a lot, right? A lot on a few hours of sleep. And then, you know, both of us being like thrust into motherhood, fatherhood, and what our roles are. Yeah, we didn't, I didn't have that like anchor. Because Florian was now so tired and figuring out like, oh my gosh, now this baby that's just been like, oh, my wife's pregnant belly is actually real and here, and life is so changed. So I struggled to have that like grounding that I needed. I didn't have, I needed somebody else to be that for me. And I think Florian needed that too. Like he needed somebody
to
and feed him and like, you know, but it was just non-stop. And like the first night, oh, the first night with a new baby and like feeling so blasted open and not having that anchor anymore. I just remember crying and I was crying for my dad. Like I just wanted my dad to be like a guard at my door because I felt so it just felt so small and vulnerable and like, yeah, like I was a baby and I needed my protector. And, you know, Florian was so exhausted as well that he, like, I'm sure if he needed to, he would be, but, you know, we both needed to rest. We all needed to rest. Like it's such a huge thing for everyone. And so the first little while, like there wasn't really integration. It was just like, oh my God, this is chaos. It felt really chaotic. And I didn't really know how to, I didn't really know how to express that need, let alone like name that that's what I needed. Like I was still so in the intensity that I didn't know how to be like, oh, I need somebody to ground me right now. Like I need help feeling safe in my body because I don't feel safe in my body. And then, you know, there's the layers of, oh my God, is my baby okay? Like,
yeah,
she, is she okay? I don't know. You know, just, and feeling so vulnerable and blasted open and like, I just remember thinking like, oh my God, if anything happened, like I can hardly even walk right now because my body is so open and so like, I just need to lay down and rest. But I remember thinking like, if we needed to get out of the house, like I couldn't even do that. I couldn't run. And, you know, there was very like primal instincts, I think, that were really active where it was like, I can't physically protect my baby. I need to be physically protected. And I think that's where I was like, dad, I just want my dad to sat at my front door, you know, guarding it to make sure nobody comes in or, you know, just to be that, that anchor, that guard, that protector. So yeah, I, it took a few days for me to like fully release that intensity out of my body. And even like I, you know, that was still moving through me when you did my closing of the bones ceremony. Like there were still pieces of that that were moving through me. So I think it's been so gradual. It's been so slow that, yeah, like it's still, it doesn't feel like it's there anymore. I feel like after the closing of the bone ceremony, I feel like I've exited this portal of pregnancy, birth, and that immediate postpartum, where I'm like, whoa, I'm seeing the whole experience now. Whereas when I was in it, I could only see what I was experiencing. But now I'm like, oh, whoa, I'm looking back at it as a whole experience. And yeah, it was really, really intense. And I struggled probably the first like month, the first 2 months, really to hold the intensity and not let it consume me. Because that's where I would get to. I would get to these points where it was consuming me and I was really struggling. Maybe even, no, I was holding it, but like really struggling, really, really struggling where, you know, trying to figure out how, like the support that my daughter needed to go to sleep. Now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much gut stuff, microbiome stuff that I've been working with now to slowly heal for myself and for her. But there was just nights where she would be crying for 3 hours straight and we wouldn't know what to do. We would be like bless Florian would just be like Googling, or he'd be messaging my sister in the middle of the night, like, hey, we don't know what to do. And she would be like giving us, you know, supporting us. And now I think back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like eating so much dairy and so many things now that I'm like, oh, her poor little tummy, she was probably just in so much discomfort that like we couldn't soothe her, you know? So it took me, like 6 months to really integrate that ability to hold the intensity. Now there's this lightness in holding it that it doesn't really feel like super intense anymore. It feels like my threshold to hold it has expanded, where she's expressing something and arching her back and throwing her body around. And there's this lightness within me that's just like, oh honey. Oh, this feels so big for you. Oh, I love you so much. Whereas before it was like, oh my God, this is too big for me. Yeah. This is too big for me. It's too big for you and it's too big for me. So yeah, and I'm sure, you know, there's going to be so many more layers, like when she hurts herself for the first time. And it's not just an emotional intensity. There's this physical intensity to it, or... yeah, it's of course like it's going to change with all of the seasons of her and all of the seasons of us together. But it's feeling lighter, a lot lighter now. So that's, I'm really grateful for that because it felt really dark and I couldn't even see how dark it felt until I stepped out of it and I turned back and I looked and was like, I just remember having this feeling like I woke up with new eyes. And I looked back and I was like, that was so intense. What the actual fuck? Yeah. What the actual fuck did I just experience? Oh my God. And every woman who becomes a mother experiences this, like, what? Of course, in our own unique ways, but like growing and birthing and being postpartum. Oh my God. It's so, so intense and so beautiful and so powerful, but like, oh my gosh, I never realized how big it was until I lived it.
Do you remember how many months you were postpartum when you opened up with those new eyes?
It was 6 months. It was after my closing of the bones, where it was like that ceremony was just felt like the closing. And it felt like it happened. Of course it happened when it was time, you know, but I felt so ready for that. But yeah, it was that like 6 month postpartum mark, which is, we're 2 months into that. So these last 2 months have felt just like, oh, just a lightness. And yeah, there's been part of me that's like, I don't want to do that again. That was so dark, and that was so heavy, and that was so scary. And I also know that there will be so many things that I do different next time. You know, the kind of support that I call in postpartum is going to be different. We were very like physically supported.
Yeah.
But next time I'm like, no, I need like the energetic support. I need on top of the physical. You know, we didn't cook a meal for like, I don't know, 5 weeks it was. Like we had like 5-6 weeks worth of food. And Florian would just be heating up the food, and you know, we had friends come over and help clean and hold laundry and do the things. And but I'm like, oh, I need, like, next time I would have somebody that I really fully trust and to hold that kind of space and container to come and close the container energetically and pull everything back in and just be that pillar of stability and grounding, so that I could feel, because I didn't feel safe enough to surrender to that. I felt like if I fully surrendered to that, I would die.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that. So I feel like I was fighting it, which of course fighting it causes more friction and makes it worse. So yeah, I would definitely call in that kind of support and just have energy work done on me and more body work, more like hands-on body work. Ugh, that would have felt so nourishing. I was so uncomfortable physically in my body by the end of my pregnancy that the first time Lorian, he just like firmly held my arm.
Yeah.
Oh, I was in like just like the most orgasmic bliss. I was like, touch feels pleasurable again. I forgot what that felt like, because it was like every time I was getting massaged or body work done when I was pregnant, it was just getting me to a baseline of surviving the discomfort. But then to feel that pleasure, so I would definitely bring in so much more pleasure because it is so intense. And I feel like having the two polarities there would have been really nourishing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you speak to like all the energetic pieces and just that like protection energetically and physically is such an essential nutrient to postpartum. And I think it's something that women bypass a lot because, like, of course, Florian was protecting you, but as you moved through your postpartum, like, how did you weave that energy of protection in more to like your daily rhythm and ritual?
I don't think I did consciously. Like, I don't think that was very at the forefront. It was more so, let me think.
I also love that image of like your dad wasn't there standing by the door, but it sounded to me like you called him in, like you called his energy in. And even just that feels so touching.
Yeah. I feel like reflecting, like I feel like I just bypassed a lot and pushed that to the side and kind of was just like, I don't have time to, or maybe not time, but like I don't have the space or capacity to feel all of this right now. So I'm just gonna leave it to the side and just show up to what's needed of me in the physical. And like, it wasn't all, you know, super dark and heavy and scary.
Of course. Yeah.
But like when the sun went down, it was like, oh my gosh, what does tonight hold for me? So I think that like weaving protection in, it was just like a slow, like slowly allowing my body to realize in each moment, like, okay, there is safety here. Okay, there is safety here and here and here. You might not feel safe, but you are safe. But I remember just being every night being like, Florian, did you lock all the doors and windows? Did you lock all the doors and windows? And
Yeah.
he'd be like, yes. And I'd be like, can you go check again, please? And like he would do it two or three times to, you know, make sure that I felt safe. So I think that he really was a pillar in that, just reminding me, or like, yeah, going and checking, even though he was 100% sure that he locked the doors, that he would go and check again, you know, or at least pretend to. I don't know if he actually did, but he would leave the room.
It's all you need it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To just be like, okay. So like he really, yeah, showed up for me in that way and in many other ways. But yeah, like there was never a conscious awareness brought to that, which I definitely would do next time, like bring it all up to the forefront to really be able to soften. Cause I think that I softened as much as I could and tried to, you know, like I also did an amazing job. I had no idea. I'd never sat at a woman's bedside for days after she gave birth and held her and witnessed her and like witnessed what that actually looks like. Because, you know, there's the like putting on a face when a friend comes over to be like, oh, okay. That is so like normalized.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so normalized. And I've witnessed it in, you know, friends here who've had babies too. I'm like, you can cry. You can cry, please. Like, I will hold you while you cry. You're allowed to cry. It's okay. Like, no, you don't need to serve me any food. You don't need to host me. Like, I'm not here for that. I'm here to hold you. But actually being in that when I was already so vulnerable and allowing people to see the fullest extent of that vulnerability, like, oof, that was really, I didn't really do that for many people. I didn't really fully open. And I think that I would do that so differently next time too, because people can't help. People can't support to the degree of like what I actually need if I don't tell them what I actually need. And beyond like telling them, hey, I need you to come and do XYZ, but just showing them how vulnerable I was and felt so that they could be like, okay, let me just hold you in that.
Yeah, meet you there.
Yeah.
I love telling these stories about like when those shadows come in postpartum, because it's hardly talked about. And even in the spaces that it is talked about, like quote unquote intrusive thoughts, like it's talked about, but it's pathologized. And it's like, if you have this, therefore you are deemed you have postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, or like, God forbid, postpartum psychosis. And like, really, we're not talking about how physiologically correct that is, like how innately attuned that is in us. Like, even if after a physiological birth in a physiological intact postpartum, like primally, those places come. And how can we prepare to meet those edges if people are telling us that if you have it, there's something like biologically or like chemically wrong with your brain? When really it's just, it's so intelligent, and we are meant to be in that like space between worlds. And that feels really intense and dark at times. Like, I remember a specific moment between the waves of like total ecstasy and high of like meeting those shadows and like knowing cognitively there was nothing wrong and I was safe, but it was just like the energetics of it that feel so big, like the need to protect this baby. There was a moment when it was before bed and the candles were lit as they always were, and I'd finished all my nighttime rituals, and my husband came in and was like, okay, I'm going to blow out the candles now. And I just had this feeling in my body of like, no, those candles are protecting me. Like, what if the demons come?
Yeah.
Cognitively knowing that that was not true. And my husband saying, there is no demons. Like, I didn't believe that, but like energetically, it was just that like yearning for protection and finding it at these places of ritual that like I discovered were holding me so deeply.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And even just speaking that, like, what if the demons come? Like, that is what it felt like. That is what it felt like. And speaking to the intrusive thoughts, like, I had seen, like, people talk about, oh, intrusive thoughts, like, it's normal. And it's like, okay. And what do we do to make ourselves feel safe in those moments when we are actually in that? Because it's one thing to say like, yeah, it's okay, it's normal. And it's like, okay, cool, now what?
But I'm
Now that I'm
seeing
like,
demons. So what do
yeah,
I say to them?
I am seeing the most horrific graphic visuals that a mother could imagine. How do I just be like, okay, that's normal? Like, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, yeah. And even you speaking that, like, it's biologically correct. Oh, there was such a softening in my body where it's like, yeah, because my whole being was like preparing, like, okay, what if this happens? How do I protect her? How do I keep her safe? Like, was in this like preparation to protect her mode. And then just the physical reality of where my body was at, just so like not able to physically protect, you know, like how, yeah, I don't know. It's feels so tender. Feels so tender and so yeah, like it was so scary. It was so scary.
Yeah, I think another like totally unspoken to layer is that like yes, I'm in our, I mean, hopefully protecting the physical spaces. Like that's their job. But like the unseen layer is that we are still entirely between realms. Like our babies are between realms. Like we are energetically protecting them, energetically protecting the home because we are seeing things and feeling the energies that nobody else is, you know, if you don't have the energy workers at your bedside, which wouldn't it be a gift if we did? But it's an entirely unseen layer. And then having that be labeled as a pathology and like a pathology that could get your baby taken away. Like it is intense.
I had an experience with a friend where I just wasn't at the point where I could deal with any conflict. Like any conflict with anyone, I was like, this is way too much.
Of course.
And I cut our relationship off because I was like, I can't. I can't. And we reconnected at Earth Daughters in the most beautiful way. And I shared with her where I was at when I cut off our friendship because, of course, like that so deeply hurt her and she didn't understand where it was coming from. And when I told her and just like shared with her really where I was at, she was like crying with me, like, why didn't you say anything? Like, why didn't you tell me? And it's like, because if we like, there is that fear, that very, very real fear of what if somebody tells on me and my baby gets taken away from me? And then my honesty and openness and vulnerability and like call for support is actually what turns out to be the thing that, you know, hurts me the most and gets my baby taken away from me. Like that is so real. And so when people have asked me, like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, there's so many layers there. And so many reasons why, even not even like cognitive reasons, but just that feeling like, not only do I need to physically protect my baby and protect our space, but also protect it from like what other people are going to say or think or project or, you know, and that pathologizing is so real.
Yeah, I mean, living in a culture where your vulnerability could be the thing that harms your baby instead of like a traditional culture where a shaman shows up at your bedside to hold you while you hold baby. Like that cuts so deep.
And that is what's needed. I'm like, just
Send the
as you said
shamans.
that, yeah, send the shamans to every postpartum woman, please. Because it is, and it just makes me think about, you know, like I don't know, label me. I'm a very like spiritual person. I'm very connected to energetics. I work with energy daily. And even that was like, oh my God, this is the most intense experience. And I can't actually hold this on my own. I need to be held. And it makes me think of, you know, the women who are potentially disconnected from that and what that experience must be like to just be thrown into this realm where there is no, you know, awareness of what is actually happening. There is no awareness of the fact that we are in two realms at once.
Yeah.
We are like straddling the line between physical and spiritual, energetic. And yeah, it's just, oh man, my heart feels for those women, all women and those women. So yeah. Like, what do we, I mean, of course we have these conversations, but what do we do?
Yeah. I mean, I just have this vision of like all of us becoming the shamans, showing up to hold the energy at women's feet postpartum, because even in the like physiological birth and postpartum spaces, it's a lot of tending to the physical pieces, which of course is so needed to even be able to think about the energetics. And it's not enough. And how could you possibly prepare for something like this without the cellular knowing in your body? You can't. And like, how can you show up to it as a maiden and other women? So like, that's why I think these conversations are so important. And like, what I love about your story is just your devotion to staying with it. And I love how you spoke to like the intensity doesn't lessen in motherhood. Like it's different intensity, right? But your capacity expands and it brings in that like beautiful ooey gooey lightness. And I think that's only possible with that devotion to staying with it and like trusting that this is all correct and like allowing the fire to forge you. Like I see that in you so deeply. And I think it's such will be so medicinal for anyone listening, especially the pregnant mothers, of just like stay with it. Don't let it consume you, but like let it permeate you and alchemize you, and then like see the mother that you step forth as.
Firstly, thank you for that. And thank you for seeing me, because that's what I feel. I feel my willingness and my willingness to be in the experience, even though I'm kicking and screaming and wanting to get out of it. You know, I know I have this thing where even as my partner and I were hiking a couple of days ago, I was like, whose idea was this? It was my idea. Whose idea was this? Why am I on this stupid mountain? Sorry, mountain. Ugh, and just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And like, Florian and I have made an agreement that when we go hiking, he's just going to hold space for me as he would hold space for me in birth. Because
love
I just
that.
need to like express, you know? And like, I knew, I was like, I'm not gonna go. I'm gonna sit here on this rock. You go finish the hike and meet me on the way down. And he just looks at me and I'm like, okay, like I know that I'm kicking and screaming. Just let me do it, okay? Just let me do it. So thank you for seeing that in me, because it's very like I feel very connected to that part of myself. And it's like a part that, you know, wasn't really welcomed. It was like, well, if you're just going to do it, then do it without making a fuss. Do it without like, you know, complaining about it. Like just do it. But that is part of it. So even when we're in these experiences that we want to get out of, we
Yeah.
don't want to be in, like we're also allowed to express that while still being in it. And for me, at least, it makes it easier to be in when I'm allowed to express whatever it is I need to express. But anyways, I forget where I was going with that.
Well, it also feels to me like such a like medicine for your birthing self, because like
Yeah.
in that intensity, you weren't really able to put words to that. So like even like just having that agreement with your husband now, like that is birth preparation. It's also parenting preparation, because I
Yeah.
just can't wait to see the girl and the woman that Flora becomes, because she is able to express
Yeah.
herself because you have held your own self in it. And having a father who has held you in it, like that is such a gift. And it just feels like, yeah, especially when you spent your whole pregnancy watching like the hypnobirthing births, which are beautiful and I admire, but like that permission to fully thrash and express, I think, is such medicine. It was for me. I remember being pregnant and my mother had come to my first birth at home and it was beautiful. And I just had this feeling of like not really wanting her there for the whole birth, simply because I felt so safe with her. And I felt like my little girl self with her. And like, I wanted to be in like my mother essence rather than my daughter essence. I knew I would be whining to her the whole time, which had so much medicine in my first birth for sure. And my mother did end up coming at the end, bringing my daughter, and it was perfect, but it was definitely already in that space where like I had traveled to the other realm by myself and forged that path as a mother already. There was no going back, and she just showed up and witnessed in awe, and it was perfect.
That's so beautiful. And speaking to that, like that is the fire, right? That we get to show up into, or show up and become really mother. Even though, you know, I'm still becoming mother, and I'm going to, as every new day comes, every new season of Flora comes, you know, I'm learning how to be her mother in each season and stage. And yeah, like that, like birth is really the blueprint. Really, really is the blueprint for showing up as mother. So it's really beautiful to hear that. Yeah, like there was a part of me that didn't want, you know, my parents don't live where I live, so they weren't going to be here. But there was a part of me that also didn't want my mom there, and not, you know, for any like mean reason. But I think you just put words to it, because I need to be mother.
Yeah.
And if she's in the room, she's mother. And now like we're both mother.
Yeah.
But how am I still like, when it's so fresh and so new, how do I still hold myself in my mother energy when I've got 29 years of practice and lived experience being in my daughter energy when my mom is present? You know, how, when it's so tender and new, how do I hold that without like trying to consciously hold it, you know?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you putting words to that experience. And and it's like such a beautiful dance, allowing myself to still be daughter because I am, and then be mother because I am.
Like it this initiation is truly like, it's healing codes from our entire life, and then for the rest of our lives as well. Like it goes so far back and so far forward. And that was one of like the biggest pieces of intensity I met in my postpartum, was just like, I am timeline jumping so much in the future and like clearing so much, but also like I felt so safe and tended to in that postpartum that like suddenly my system is like, this is a good time to work on everything in the past as well. Like you are safe. Your brain is malleable. You're flooded with this like beautiful matrix of hormones. And so why don't we also weave in all of these like shadow patterns that felt too stuck to like really alchemize before? And holding those and working through those, I did like a lot of dream work specifically. Like a lot of memories were coming up in dreams. And then of course the days were filled with like so much of that like beautiful oxytocin high and like the postpartum altered state. And it was so delicious. So holding both of those at the same time was like the deepest medicine for me. And that like, it was so both and I was so capable of holding both of it, like especially because we're expanded into this other realm. Like it is such a gift and like something we definitely need to be speaking to, because it feels scary when you don't know that this is not only normal but intelligent, and that like we are biologically and energetically designed to hold both of these. Like this is the appropriate time to be doing this work. We never really get that opportunity to that level again, you know, until we have another baby. But like the intensity is the gift, is like the essence that I'm feeling into with your story.
Wow. I remember hearing a podcast where a woman shared, she was free birthing, and she shared that all she wanted was a woman there who had given birth before. And I was still pregnant, and I was like, I don't think I'll need that. Because I didn't need that in the sense of, like, I didn't need help or support with the birth process. Yeah. Like, I was so surrendered in that. I was so trusting in that. So just like, I just need to let it move through me. There is no other option.
Yeah.
And this is where she was speaking to that, like, just to have a woman put her hand on her womb and say, like, it's okay. Like, this is correct. This is what's supposed to happen. But I needed that. And that, like, a woman who has walked the path to be able to hold the space.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. It is so different when it's embodied.
Yeah.
And it just made me think of like the power of having a woman who has, you know, given birth, been postpartum, who knows the fullness of that experience, just coming to hold, just to hold. And like not,
and
do...
she doesn't even have to say anything.
Yeah. And that's where this like my choice to free birth was like, because I trust my body, I trust birth. And that means I trust death as well. And not like I trust that everything is going to go the way I want it to go, the way I hope it'll go. It's this deep, maybe not even trust, faith that whatever unfolds is exactly what was meant to unfold. And that I didn't need to, you know, bring in the medical system to make sure it went my way. That was my choice. And I think in that, like, there was a resistance towards letting anybody else in. And I don't think at the time there was anyone that I knew and trusted to come into the space and hold it the way that I now know I would have liked. You know, I don't think at the time there was. And now it's because I think it's because I've met that energy and I know it. I'm like, okay, so now I know what I would have needed. But it's like, oh, I don't know. There's this like cultural piece. I think you spoke a little bit. It's the culture
Yeah.
that is lacking, you know, and there's this, yeah, like if we choose free birth, do we actually choose to do it all by ourselves?
Yeah.
Or can we still, like, is there still a way to not have our physiological unfolding disturbed, not have the physiological birth disturbed, but is there a way to have someone come? And there is. This is where it's the more traditional birth keeping. But I think that I really just experienced the lack there because I didn't know. And I'm sure, well, yeah, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but that just really felt this longing, not for somebody to give me permission or to give me this like reminder, like, you can do it. Like, that's not what I needed. I needed a woman who is like, I know what this takes, and I know it's a lot. And I know that even just my presence being not even in the room, but just sitting on my couch in the living room, like, I know that this is what is needed. I'm not needed in there. I'm not needed to hold your hands and look in your eyes and say, you can do it. Trust your body.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but just like sitting there, eyes closed, like holding that energetic shield up for however many hours, however many days, you know?
So
yeah,
it is so needed. Like, at least the energetics that, and I felt that a little bit in my first birth. I had a medical midwife, but she with my first birth, but she was more traditional in the sense that she came from a like traditional community. It was unregistered for a long time, and she had 12 babies herself, and so she didn't really do anything. She's writing notes at the kitchen table, but like I felt that energy of just like, she has done it 12 times. I'm going to be okay. And so I knew I would likely be weaving that into my second birth. I also felt that, like, you know, really common and appropriate protective measure where we want to do it alone. And of course, that is sometimes like the best medicine. But I also knew, like, at my core, I wanted a woman to just be holding the space. And I wanted to have the option of not having them there as well. So I had two of my friends who are like beautiful traditional midwives on call. And I just said, like, maybe I'll call them at some point. I'll know which one of them to call in the moment if I feel like I have to. And then after I had done my early labor myself and met those places, it just like landed in me like so hard in that moment, like, no, I need women to like be in the other room, but like beating the drum and holding the space. And so I told my husband to call both of them, and he's like, what, both of them? Like, that wasn't the plan. But yeah, that's what I needed. And like, really, after they arrived, I didn't see much of them until like the very end, the emergence. But just knowing they were in the other room and they were lighting candles and they were playing with my older daughter and just holding the space was all I needed to be able to like meet those edges by myself. And then of course that weaves so much into postpartum of like, yes, we can hold all these places, we can meet these shadows, but like, who is holding us on the energetic level, like beyond the soup and the feeding us broth and the cleaning of the house and the tending to the older children? Like, yeah, I'm just thinking of like spaces in my postpartum nest where, and I did have a lot of beautiful community support, but women just being in the other room, beating the drum, and like, yeah, that is definitely something that I would weave more in the future too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm crying for everyone who can't see me. oh my gosh. Oh. Just listening to you, like, and having that visual of you, you know, in your birthing space and women tending to your daughter and, yeah, beating the drum and holding the space. I'm like, oh my gosh, that just, there's been a part of me. And a while ago, I was crying to my husband and just saying, like, if I choose to not do it again, will you be okay with that? Because it was so hard and it was so scary, and I don't know if I want to do it again. And like, how, like, what a privilege it is to know that I don't have to if I don't want to. But
yeah.
But there is, like, we do have another spirit baby that I feel, and I've been like speaking to him and being like, you know, I might say no. Like, I might say no. And of course he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm the one that's here. But just listening to you say that, I was like, oh my God, like, there's just this dissolving of all of that fear and resistance and this little bud of like excitement to do it again, and to know that the path will be so different.
Yeah.
The second time it'll be so different. Oh.
And
That
like
feels
the claiming
so
of
good.
that being such an incredible permission for our community, because like they want to hold us and they're scared too, because a lot of the cultural narrative is like, she's postpartum, leave her alone.
Yeah.
And they don't know how. So, and like, we see that in these amazing devoted sisters, like coming over and bringing the meals and tending to the house, and they don't stop doing that. But it can also just be so, so simple. And like, that's something I learned in my postpartum doula training, is like, you're taught to tend to the physical things and help with the baby. But when I started actually like sitting at the feet of women and going again and again, mostly they wanted me to sit in their bed and ask them the questions and hear the birth story. And that was such an incredible like softening and permission for me of being like, oh, this is actually so simple and so accessible.
Yeah. It's really interesting as well. When I got pregnant, there was like just a cascade of women getting pregnant in my like circle. And I was the first one to birth. And so there was a lot of, you know, pregnant women coming into or being welcomed into my postpartum space. And I just think of like each of us now and how different we would be coming into that space, and how different we would hold the space. And yeah, and it makes me excited for the next time, because some of those women will be in my space again, and it will be so different. And you know, and I get to show up different as well in women's spaces and postpartum space. And yeah, there's also this like, you know, centering the mother and her experience, that I've been using that term like to center the mother. And so many women have been like, oh my God, like, yes. But also, how do we respond, react, feel when we are at the center? Because societally, we're not encouraged to be the center of attention, you know, and like thrive in that and claim that space. We're taught to be smaller and like to shy away from that. So like, when, you know, you do invite this woman to come and sit at the edge of your bed or right beside you and hold you, can you actually let yourself be held? Can you actually let yourself be the center, take up that space, tell your birth story 10 times? You know, can you actually allow yourself to be in that, in the center, instead of like having that resistance? Or I'll take up a little bit of space, but not too much.
Yeah.
Not too much, you know? Because if there is ever a time to like fully claim that space and bask in that, it is postpartum. 1000%. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm excited. I will do it again.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of, like, on the flip side of that, like informing how we show up to the women in our community. Like, yes, as a postpartum mother, can you fully let yourself be seen and in like that edge of receptivity? But like, can you fully allow yourself to see the mother that you are tending to? Like, it is an intense thing to look at and to hold, but can you just stay with that? Like, even that as postpartum and birth preparation is so magical. And it also reminds me that, like, Kelty and I, my sweet friend, have talked about this a lot, in that it's usually the postpartum mothers showing up for the postpartum mothers. Like, I love that you spoke to, you are postpartum and tending to all these other postpartum women. And it's because we know in every cell of our bodies, and it's not correct culturally. Like, we shouldn't have to be the ones, but I love, like, weaving in that permission of, like, you don't need to be postpartum and making them a giant batch of soup. Like, sure, if that's in your capacity, do it. There's other people who can do that. Like, you could ask your friend to make this soup. But if you have the capacity to just, like, show up on her bedside and just see her, like, you are a different woman now. I see that, and look at this precious baby. Like, that is just as helpful, or even more helpful. Like, we don't have to deplete ourselves as mothers, as postpartum women, in order to meet these women in that way. Like, it really is so simple when we like boil it down.
I love this.
Yeah, I love this. That this is the frequency we're closing out with, because yeah, it really is just such permission for everybody.
And it just makes me continue to hold that vision where, you know, the shaman is holding the space. The women are in the other room beating the drum and holding the space, and that becomes the baseline, the you know, consistent experience, not this like closed door crying, struggling, postpartum depression, anxiety, psychosis, all of it, like, and not telling anyone. And like, I did a little bit of that, you know,
I Me did too.
A little bit of that, and that's okay, you know, if you know, we're not, of course, we're not the only ones experiencing that, but you know, I just am holding this vision where that's not the reality.
Yeah.
That is the anomaly.
Yeah.
Where, you know, what is consistent and normal is to be held in all of the realms, not just the physical, which is already rare enough as it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, and the reminder that, you know, we have the ability to speak our needs and ask. I feel like there's sometimes like, oh, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to ask for too much. I don't want to, it's that same, like, I don't want to take up space.
Yeah.
I had a friend, have a friend who, you know, she saw me in my transition to mother being like, hey, can you do this for me? Hey, can you grab that for me? Hey, I need this. Can you do that? And she would just be like, I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes. Wow, you're so good at that now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? Thank you.
Yeah.
That piece of like, you're seeing me in this is my mother energy. Like, hey, can you support me? Hey, can you help me? Mm-hmm. Asking for what I need. So just sending that gentle reminder, like you are allowed to ask. It's like it's a dance between everybody, not just this expectation for other people to just know. Or even if you don't know what you need, like, hey, I don't know what I need. Can you just come here and maybe we can figure it out?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's not only not a burden for our community, but like it is medicine for our community. Like predominantly, our loved ones want to know how to show up to us. They really do. And just seeing, like that was such a gift for the woman watching you. And I've been gifted by that so much, and seeing how the women in my life have showed up to not just postpartum, but like motherhood as a whole. So it really is just such an invitation for, well, for culture. I usually close out by asking for a piece of advice for the postpartum women, but that was just innately
that was
it. I love it.
That was it.
Well, I appreciate just the depths and the vulnerability you brought us to today. Like, it is truly such a gift, and I feel it rippling out to women already. So thank you so much for being here and sharing from your heart.
Thank you so much for inviting me and welcoming me and holding me. I feel like there's a few women that I know that I'm just like, oh, my heart is so safe with you. And you are one of those women where I'm just like, oh, I feel like I can fully soften and open and show you my heart, and you're just going to hold it. So thank you for being that woman and being able to, hold my heart. It feels so, so safe.
Thank you so much for that reflection. That is totally the prayer for this project and these stories. So thank you, Eden.
Thank you for being here with us. If these stories have been medicine for you, please help share them by following and sending them to the women in your life who they would serve. The maidens who are beginning to orient themselves to their matrescence, the pregnant mothers preparing for the birth portal, and the postpartum mothers who could be held in their alchemy by these stories. If you have a physiological postpartum story you'd like to share, you can find the link to submit a story in the description. I would be honored to sit with you. You can also find a link in the description to connect with me or book one-to-one mentoring sessions for wild birth and sacred postpartum preparation, birth story integration, ceremonial loss support, or traditional birth work mentorship.